Is God powerful? Is God powerful? How powerful is God? How powerful is He? How mighty is God? Almighty God. How mighty is that? How good is He? How loving is He? How wise is He? Truly, the creator of all things, how great is He? At the level He is great, praise Him. At the level He is good, honor Him. At the level He is loving, bless the Lord. Is He great? Or is He okay? Is He powerful? Or is He all right? Is He awesome? Or is He not able? It's only the church of God that's able to give Him the expression of praise by the revelation of who He is. If we don't know who He is, we have to know who God is. And at the level in which you know who He is at the level in which He can show you who He is in your life. That's why you have to have revelation. Matter of fact, salvation comes by being able to say, I know who You are. You are the Lord of lords and King of kings. And because of that, then He can become the Lord of your life and the King of your life. There was a woman who said, I know if I can touch Him, He will heal me. And He says, because You call Me healer, I can heal you. There was another person that came to God and they had sin in their life. But because they trusted God, He was able to deliver them from their sins. There was someone else who had no provision except 2 fish and 5 loaves. And when they were able to hand it to Him, He was able to be provision and provider. There was someone else who said, we're stuck in our situations. But when they knew that God came to visit them, He said, I can deliver you out. So at the level in which the revelation of the church has will be the revelation that God moves in to manifest. He will manifest in that. There's a place in Scripture where it says, Jesus speaking to His disciples said that I'm going to come and manifest to you, but the world won't see Me. How is it that the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, this mighty God, creator of all things, is going to manifest on the earth, but only the church will see Him? How is this possible? Because He says, when you believe in your heart and obey My word, I will manifest in the word that you trust and obey. Is that what He said? So every word He speaks is an opportunity by faith for Him to show up. So every word that God has ever spoke, anyone that believes it and receives it and abides in it and it abides in them, He says, that's the place I can show up. And what does He show up with? Whatever the word said. If the word said salvation, He shows up with salvation. If the word says love, He shows up with that love. Whatever's needed for the situation. That's why the saints of God, we come to get the word all the time. Because if I can get the word of God, if I can get God to speak, I can get God to manifest. If I can get God to speak, I can get God to show up into my circumstances. So what word do you believe about God? What word do you believe about God? Because that's how you're seeing your circumstance right now. If God is a mighty God, then I start talking like King David and I say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't say, the Lord is far off and my situation is big. Right? I say, the Lord is my shepherd. Which means He's with me, He's leading me, and I have no need that He can't supply. Are you trying to get your needs supplied outside of God? But God says, in the kingdom, if you seek Him first, all these things will be added to you. How mighty is God? How powerful is God? At the level in which you know that or believe that and confess that and walk that will be the level in which it's able to manifest. Jesus wept on the earth. He was looking at his people and he started crying because they were in turmoil even though he was present. And it grieved his heart that he could be present and his people looking at circumstances as if they're bigger than him. And so he was going to show them, circumstances aren't bigger than me. He went in and said, remove the stone, Lazarus, rise up. He said, I am the resurrection. Death is not bigger than me. Death is not bigger than me. Depression is not bigger than me. Finances are not bigger than me. Governments are not bigger than me. Nothing's bigger than me. If you put God first and trust and obey, the Bible says, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If there's not freedom in your heart and your life to be able to express yourself for God, then there is bondage there, and we have to deal with it. If there is not the ability to have the joy of the Lord, something is wrong. If I can't be like David and dance before the Lord, something is wrong. Something's holding me back. If I can't open my mouth and say, Jesus is Lord, something's wrong with that atmosphere. If I'm not able to say, body, come into agreement and bless the Lord, something's wrong in here. King David, the same one that said, the Lord is my shepherd, also made this commandment to his own soul. He said, I command my soul. That means my thinking, my emotions, my all of who I am. I command my soul to bless the Lord. So when my emotions get to the point where they don't want to bless the Lord, I say, soul, bless the Lord. Why? For he is good and his mercy endures forever. When I walk into a fearful situation, I say, soul, don't be moved by anyone other than he who has life and death in his hand. When I get into a situation with my finances, I say, soul, the blessing of the Lord makes you rich and adds no sorrow. But you have to make a command. At the place that you believe, God will show up in your life. What do you believe? What do you believe about God? Let's look at a scripture, and I want to show you the relationship God has with you and me, the church, gives you access to all of his power. What are you doing with it? Can we look at that? Yes. Let's turn in the scriptures. John 1:12. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. Give us ears to hear today. You said, those that have ears, let them hear what the Spirit's saying. And your words are spirit and life, and they quicken and bring things to fruition. You said, your words won't return void, but will accomplish what you sent them to do. So we thank you that this word being sent today from you, out of the mouth of your servant here, I thank you for removing my lips of clay, that your word would be heard by the Spirit. And Lord, that everyone that has an ear, let them prosper in this word today. Let them express themselves through joy and peace. Let them express themselves, Lord, through the freedom of the Spirit. We give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Let everybody say, amen. Let's read quickly. John 1:12, one of my favorites, it goes, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So the question is, did you receive him? Have you received the word of God, which became flesh? The name of him is Jesus. But if we go down, actually drop down to verse 14, two more verses down, just so you know who we're talking about, receive him. Receive who? And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word of God, who was in the beginning with God, was God, created all things. God himself, the word of God, became flesh. His name is Jesus. Our confession that Jesus is the Christ is to say, he who is God from the beginning, manifested on the earth in the body that we carry also, a fleshly body, and his name is Jesus. But this Jesus might have been born on Christmas, but he was alive with God from the beginning. And all that receive him, the word of God, Say the word of God. All that receive him, what? The word of God. All that receive him. So there's a him on the word of God. He's a person. The word of God is alive. The word of God is not just a thing you read in a book. The word of God is God. The Bible says that there are three that bear witness in heaven, and they agree within themselves, and they don't need any other witnesses. And it's all one, Father, Word, Holy Ghost. These three, they agree within themselves, and they don't need anybody to come give them counsel. The Word is God. It's a He. And all that receive Him, the Word of God, who manifested Jesus, and believe on His name. To them he gives power. So the question is, have you received him? And if you've received him, going back to verse 12, if you've received him, have you received power? And if you've received power, what power do you have and what outlets is it in your everyday life? What power do you have as a child of God? Where does it manifest? Because this is, it started in the beginning. This is the establishment of the ABCs of the faith in which we are now thousands of years into. We're thousands of years into it. We have the benefit of seeing forerunners. We have the benefit of seeing people go before us to show us how to do it. Jesus was the only one they ever saw walk in the Holy Spirit on the earth until they had to do it as the first disciples of Jesus. But we've had the opportunity to see the church over thousands of years. We've had a chance to hear the word preached for thousands of years, the building of the church. We've had a chance to do it. So what power have you received? It's a must that you receive power. How can you become a son of God without God giving you the power to become a son of God? We can't self-entitle ourselves. I'm a son of God because I say so. I'm going to do my own good works and say, see how good I am, God? I must be your son. And he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. For without me, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible because you have to have faith in him, the one he sent. So the question is, and the word, go back to verse 12, please. It says that as many as receive him, to them God gave power. What power do you have? What do you have the power to do? And what don't you have power to do? How you answer that question tells me a lot how God manifests in your life. The church has to know what power we have and what power we don't have. If I have no power, one of the things about being powerless becomes a victim. Usually, if I victimize myself, it means in the same circumstance, if it happened again, I could do nothing. I was powerless. It wasn't up to me. It was up to the mercy of another who didn't show me mercy because they had power that I couldn't do anything about it. And if I stay in situations and say, I have no power to do anything about this, then I'm disconnecting myself from truly being one of the sons of God. What power do we have? Well, we better find out what power Jesus had and find out what power we got. Amen. Jesus said crazy things on the earth. He said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot be my disciple. Many people left him because they didn't understand what he was talking about. Jesus looked at the disciples and said, hey, listen, I know you're sad that I'm going away, but greater things than I've done will you do. Why? Because I go away and we're going to give you the power. Why is Jesus ever making intercession for the saints? So that the power of God can be directed towards the cause of the church. Amen. Who you and I are. The power of God is being directed through the church in which we are. And who is the church? You've heard me say it many times. There's two words that make up church in its original origins. And it is those that have been called out of one thing and those that have been gathered together in another thing. We've been called out of bondage and darkness, and we have been gathered into the presence and liberty of God. We don't just come out of one thing and then hope not to go back into it again. But God takes us out so that he can empower us. Scripture tells us, if I come out of one thing and God casts devils out of me and heals my body and does great things for me, but if there's nothing in the house after that happens, the Bible said the same devil that got removed in the first place will go get seven stronger than himself and come back. And if he finds the house, watch this, clean, which means it's been clean, but empty, he will take residence. And the state of the house is worse now than it was from the beginning. Why? Because they did not take the power to establish heaven on earth. There has to be power. Without power, what can the church do? You know what the church can do? It can be a social club. And we can only be comforted at the level we can comfort each other. But if we are comforted truly by the one God sent to the church called the Great Comforter, who Jesus said is just like me, he said it's the same part of me that raised this body from the dead. He said it's the same part of me that created the world into existence. If this is what comforts you, then you have all power available to you. What power do we have available to us? Do you have power not to worry? But if you don't use it, you worry all the time. You worry all the time. God put it like this. The same way David said, I command my soul to bless the Lord. Jesus said this, and sometimes we read it sweet, but I'm going to say it hard. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it. Why? Because I give you power to not let it. If it was up to you, then you're just doing it in your own work. But if I'm speaking life to you, then guess what? We can change everything. And you need to wake out of your sleep and quit doing the same old with the same results. Let's get life moving in the church. Let's get life at your home. Let's get life working its way through your body. Let's get life coming out of your hands. Let's get life in our focus and expectation. Let's rise up with the power that God gave us to be the sons of God. But as many as receive him, have you received him? If you haven't, the Bible says, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Receive today. You know, Lord, I didn't receive yesterday, but today is a new day. I got new grace. I got new mercy. Judgment hasn't come. This is the dispensation of grace. All I have to do, the Bible says, he who is just, confess his sins. The blood of Jesus will wash you from all unrighteousness. Lord, I didn't do it right yesterday. I even messed up this morning, but I hear your voice now. I receive you right now. Right now. When does faith come? The Bible says, now faith is. When is the now? When you receive the word. The minute you receive the word, faith immediately is working. It's immediately alive. Immediately. Which means immediately the power from that word, from that life that you received, it's available right then. Sometimes we make mistakes and we sin and we do things that we're not proud of, and so we hide from God. But by doing that, we deny the power available to us. We deny the power. I don't have time to wait 2 weeks to show God how sad I am for what I did, because I need the power today to cast out demons and to walk in high places. I need it today to be able to bless his name. I need it today to let my light so shine that someone might see that God is on the earth through his people called the sons of God. We have a work to do. And right now, the church is waiting to see what the world's going to do. The church is waiting to see what the world's going to do. Who is the world? When I say the world, simply those that are not connected to the vine. When I say the vine, Jesus said, I am the true vine. They're not connected to the life of God. He called that the world. So we're waiting to see what those that aren't connected to God do to decide what we're going to do. But the Bible says the just live by faith. The just walk by faith. Which means I have to have enough power to walk in what God said, regardless of what they do and regardless of what they say. I have to have that. You are a candidate for all the power of God. Think about that. Think about that. Think about that. Anywhere where you saw faith in Scripture when Jesus was walking the earth, you saw power come out. Anywhere. Think where Jesus said, look at the faith. Wow, look at that faith. Something would always happen. If he could find faith in him, that means they received his word, they trusted and believed he could do it. Jesus, walking by a couple blind men, walked up to them and said, what do you want? Well, it seems obvious, Jesus, they're blind. But they needed to confess out of their mouth that they believed he had the ability to cure blindness. Because sometimes what we'll say, we'll be blind, we'll call on Jesus, and when he comes, we'll say, you know, give me a blanket and comfort me. And so Jesus will give you a blanket and comfort you. But if you would have said, heal my eyes, because that requires faith. That requires you believe that he is who he said he is, and he can do all things. So Jesus looked at them and says, do you believe I can do what you're asking? And they said, yea, Lord, we believe. And so you know what Jesus said? According to your faith, have it. Your faith isn't just, I'm believing for a car, I'm believing for a car, I'm believing for a car. You open your eyes, you get up in the morning, and the Datsun is still there. Faith is hearing God, reading the word, receiving the word, believing that word, and making a demand on that word, and then that's where the results come from. You said you will supply all of my needs according to your riches in glory. And I confess you are so rich that you own the heavens and the earth. You made all creation. It's all yours. So I give you thanks for my transportation, which is not a problem for my God. Now I got different expectations on a car. I'm not hoping for a car. I'm commanding a car. I'm accessing faith to get what I need. Agreeing with Jesus always. We have power through faith. You have power through faith. But the Bible says, let the person that when they pray have a wavery mind. They believe, they don't believe. They believe when it's praise and worship, they don't believe when their circumstance hits them. They believe when they're with this group, they don't believe when they're with that group. They believe when they're in the house of God, they don't believe while they're at work. He said, let that person not think that they should receive one thing from God. Why? Because he doesn't come through that channel. He comes through faith. He promised, I will manifest through your faith. I will show up in your faith always. I'll never let you down in faith. Never. So how much access does God have to manifest in your life? How much access is there to the power of God in your life? Everywhere where you're positioned in faith, that's an opportunity. That's an opportunity. So rather than looking at your problem as a problem, what if by faith you saw it as an opportunity? What if you saw the challenge in that relationship as an opportunity? What if you saw the work situation as an opportunity? What if you saw the problem in your body as an opportunity for God to shine? Amen. What if it was an opportunity? And everybody said, amen. Then we'd be killing it, right? Yeah. Well, let's get about it. Let's read some more scripture. You know the one I love? Genesis through Revelations, and some even said maps. But I want to look at a couple places specific. Let's go to Jesus speaking to us before he left the earth in Mark chapter 16, starting verse 15 through 18. Can we do that? All that receive him, the word of God, Jesus, manifest in the flesh, all that receive him, to them he gives power to become the children of God. Did you receive Jesus this morning? Sometimes we think we received him the one time, but then we deny his word all day long. We believe him, we confess him Lord, But when your Lord speaks, nobody moves. This morning, I started to get hot at my house. I was in my own world, in my own meditation. Kara's getting the kids ready. And I heard her on top of the stairs say, okay, come up here and brush your teeth. And I heard no foot movement. It means that she made a command as the head of the house towards them in that situation. And it didn't move them. Her word didn't move them. Whatever they were doing, they stayed in it. Her word didn't have a place for them in what they were going to do next and in within the timing. If God's word doesn't move you, you have to question, did I receive it? Because the word of God will move you. How do we know that father of faith, Abraham, believed God? Because he heard him speak and God says, leave your mother and father's country. We know that he received that word when? When he left. If he would have stayed there and said, oh, I received this word. Oh, God's going to make me a great nation. Oh, God. But stayed where God told him to leave. He did not receive the word. He did not receive the word. He was a hearer of the word, but not a receiver of the word. He was a hearer of the word, but not a receiver of the word. Are you a receiver of the word? Then your life, the Bible says, the word is a lamp to our feet and light to our path. That means everywhere you're going, you can see clearly where you're going based in the word. Because you're not stepping without faith, and faith requires the word. And when the word's there, he gives you power to be the son of God right in that step. So I can take this step directed by God, with God present, with the power to be a son of God. And if there is a serpent there, I can make a command and demand on him. If there's a giant in the land, I can dispossess him. Why? Because I am a son of God. And we all flex a little bit. Come on. I see these football players get a touchdown. They all got a move. Preachers should get a move. When we know we preach the word, we should have something. You know, I got to have something. Give me something. That's just my expression of faith saying, Lord, oh, thank you for letting me get that one. All right, so we're looking again from Mark 16, 15 through 18. It reads like this, and he said unto them, this is Jesus, the word that became flesh. This is the word of God in a body speaking. Jesus. This is the word of God in a body speaking. The word became flesh, dwelt among us. But as many as receive him, the word of God, in the flesh with the name Jesus. This is him. And he said to them, go unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, in the name of the one who was the Christ, the name of the one who is the word manifested on the earth, the name of the one that the word took a body, the name of the one that speaks from the mercy seat, the name of the one who shed his blood for our sins, in his name is more than just saying in the name of Jesus. It is being in him and him in you. And that's why Jesus says, if you're in me and my words abide in you, then you will ask what you want and it shall happen. Because the word of this Lord and Messiah has to be in you for it to manifest. When it's in you, then you can command it. You can agree with it and watch it show up. If it's not in you, you need to go to someone that's in them and lean on them until you get it in you. Right? So, in my name, they shall cast out devils. Not run from devils. Not stay in a cave because a devil is in the house. But there is power to cast, remove them out. Oftentimes, we picture this only being the priests that do it. But just so you know, the Bible says every child of God is of the royal priesthood. And he says that I call you no more servants, but priests. all of the house of God are priests and have priestly robes and priestly authority. And he says, you will cast out devils. Sometimes we think it's only the exorcist out of people. But I want you to know, if I walk in my house and there is a spirit of division in this house, it's not accidental. A spirit came to divide the peace of God in my house. And so I take authority and I cast that devil out of my own house. I say, in the name of he who created all things, in the name of the one who came with peace, I cast out any spirit that would bring division in my home, anything that would try to influence my children, the food I eat, my wife, my relationships, my own body, my health, my prosperity, anything in this house, I cast it out. So you have to not only cast it out of people, but most of the time, devils are cast out of circumstances and situations where they are having influence. You ever gone into a workplace and it just don't seem right? What is it? It's not flesh and blood that we're dealing with. The thing we're dealing with is spirits and powers and principalities of darkness that are having influence, which is chains and bondage. And we come, in the same way Jesus said to set us at liberty, we set those at liberty that are within our covering. Why? Because we have power and we're the sons of God, even as Jesus is the Son of God. The Bible says, if we are children of God truly, then that means we're joint heirs with Jesus. If Jesus is the heir of all things of God because he's the Son of God, that means us, the believers, who are also children, we're joint heirs with Christ. And when you hear the word heir, I want you to think of inheritance. And they inherit all the Father had. That's why Jesus said, all power and authority has been given to me. Why? Because I inherit it. I received it from the Father. I inherit it, right? And now, when you become a son of God, you are a co-inheritor with him, both in earthly and heavenly things. We are the church. We're the children of God. And he says that we have power to cast out devils. If I don't cast the devil out, sometimes we'll say that we're questioning our power. But maybe it's really because we're questioning God's power. Maybe I haven't received him properly. Maybe he said it, but I haven't really received that. I confess it, but I haven't received it. I have to take a self-examination and decide, Lord, here's my heart. Here's me. You know me better than I know myself. Is it me? Because I know you're all powerful. And I know your command said to cast devils out where I go, doing what you've called me to do. You know, sometimes we think only when we're in the capacity of a suit and tie, preaching the word, does someone get cast out. But I'm telling you, most of the devils we run upon happen outside wherever you go. Where are most of the devils in your life? That's where you should be doing most of the casting outing. Is that right? Where are they at? Don't get me wrong, the devil walks into the church all day, but he has no place here. That's why if you preach the true word of God, people that aren't going to move in the liberty of the Spirit are only going to be able to stay so long. Eventually, they will remove themselves. Why? Because the Bible says they will go to a place with itching ears where they hear what they want to say so that they can do what they want to do, and find agreement with the preacher and what they're going to do regardless of what God says. But those that want to be set at liberty, the Bible says, Jesus speaking, you hear my word. If you continue in my word, you're going to know the truth, and the truth's going to make you free. So if we want freedom, we need the word. And we need it to manifest in our lives. You have power to cast out devils. What are you doing with that power? If you don't use the power, there's a good chance they're pushing you around. Right? If you don't use the power that you got, because in my name, remember, these signs, and when it says signs, I want to put it like this. These manifestations of the power of the true sons of God, these manifestations of the power of the true sons of God, say it with me. These manifestations of the power of the true sons of God will allow them in my name to cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. I don't even have to go there. Sometimes we fight whether there be tongues, and we fight that so much rather than to ever tap into the power of it. And because we don't believe, when can we ever have the power of it?
That's right.
But the Bible tells me, if you want to get down where it gets down, and if you want to build up on your most holy faith, the heart of your faith, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray like Jesus said with these new tongues. Jesus said it. If you ever need, I need faith, and I don't know what to do. Well, thank the Lord for a power he gave you that the devil can't get in the way of. The Bible says when we pray in the Holy Ghost that the devil doesn't even know what we're saying. Our own understanding and lack of knowledge doesn't know what we're saying. For the Spirit is making intercession perfectly with God where he stands full of power. So that we can access without interference of humans, demons, or anything else the true Word of God. So praise the Lord for part of, to those who receive him, to them he gives power. One of the powers Jesus says is the new tongue. That's what Jesus said. I just don't know about the new tongue. Well, your flesh will never know about it. Why? Because it's not given to your flesh to know. The Bible says it's impossible for the natural man to understand the spiritual things. Impossible. It's only spiritually discerned. So there's no equation we can give you. That's why Jesus would speak in parables to people. Because I need to speak to you in an earthly way so that you can understand it earthly, because you're not going to get it if I give it to you spiritually. But spiritually, oh, that's where the sons abide. That's where the children walk. There is a highway. The Bible says, and the wicked don't walk there. The unredeemed don't walk there. Which means there is a pathway in this world that's unseen to people. It's a spiritual highway, and it says that God walks on the highway with his people. So we have to walk in this way. And Jesus said, oh, I'm the way. Come through me. That's why we say in the name of Jesus. I think there's one more verse. Let's read it for finishing what I said. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall not recover. Without wisdom, we'll do some stupid things. I saw a picture today of somebody who took a selfie. They wanted to take a selfie with a rattlesnake. And so they got close to the rattlesnake, put their hand down, and when they took the picture, all you see in the picture is the thing bit this person. Bit them taking a selfie with the rattlesnake. Listen, when it says that you'll take up serpents, it doesn't mean take selfies with rattlesnakes, okay? We can do some foolish things that's out of order, out of the wisdom of God. But I'll tell you something. The Bible says that the devil spoke through the snake. And that same snake, that same spirit, the devil, showed up to Jesus and tried to convince Jesus what he should do and where he should go and how he should behave. And so the devil told him, take these stones and make them bread. So when it says that I can take up serpents, it means I can be in the garden of the kingdom of God, the presence of God, and if a serpent comes in there, it has no authority over me unless I yield to it. Amen. Adam and Eve yielded to it. Jesus kicked him out. Jesus told them to get out. So these serpents, anything that comes to influence me against being a child of God, I have power over that. So what has come to influence you out of the will of your rightly placed as a royal priesthood? What has tried to sway you to not look like one of God's children or to speak like one of God's children or confess redemption? What is it that tries to tell you the blood of Jesus has not truly washed you from all unrighteousness? And to that thing, I have power over it. I have power over that serpent, the lying snake. And if I drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Jesus said, Lord, this cup that you set before me to go to the cross, if there's any other way, but nonetheless, I'll drink whatever you put in front of me. Whatever Jesus puts in front of you has no power to take you out of his will. Sometimes we see it and say that I'll drink these things and I won't get sick, right? Well, the sick thing about is sick unto death, eternal damnation. There's nothing that God can bless that has the right to take your soul away. It doesn't mean God won't bring you to a place that is the catalyst for your death, your natural death. Because he brought his disciples, his apostles, he brought them into beheadings and was pleased. Crucifixion, pleased. Burning at the stake, pleased. It pleased him. But guess what? When they drank of that cup, it could do nothing to them of being a child of God. They were a son of God. The Bible says in Revelations that this is how we overcome the devil, the wicked serpent. This is how we do it. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and not loving our own life unto death. It means I'll stand in this faith even if it costs me my life. I won't budge. You know, the word of our testimony, we picture the word of our testimony just being, you know, oh, I didn't know how I was going to pay my house payment, and I paid it. God is good. And that's a good testimony. But the word of our testimony, according to overcoming the devil, is when every word that we agree with God. Our testimony has, we've received the true word of God, and we won't budge off of it. We have received the witness of Father, Word, and Holy Ghost on the earth. We've received it by the Spirit, and our testimony is in agreement. That's why Scripture tells us quite clearly, when the Spirit is given and poured out upon all flesh, when God pours his Spirit on the earth, which is to the church now, your sons and daughters will prophesy. What they're doing is testifying on the earth in agreement with heaven. That's prophesying. They're agreeing with the testimony of heaven on the earth that can only be received through the Spirit. How are they able to testify of the things that are only spoken in private in heaven? Well, the same Spirit that's present there is present here, revealed it. And so your sons and daughters prophesy. That's why we say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And there's power there. It's not, no weapon formed against me will prosper, oh Lord. It's not a blanket, it's power. If there's no power, I got to question whether that's the kingdom. And if it's not the kingdom, I got to question, who is the king in charge of the land where there's no power for freedom and for liberty? The kingdom of God always comes in power. I'll show you that. Look. We're going to lay hands on the sick and they recover. You have power by your prayer, connected to God, to bring health on the earth. Do you believe that?
Yes.
If you don't believe that, I want you to picture, don't picture it not believing that you have something. Believe this, you're not believing what God says. And so you haven't received what God said concerning him having the power and accessing it through you to lay hands on the sick. Are you a believer? Do you cast out devils? Do you speak with new tongues? Do you tell the devil where to get? Do you pray and have sureness that what you pray for shall come to pass? Why? Because we have power available. If we don't, we just become religious. And we do stuff by show with no dough. We do stuff to look, but not to be. I heard a great message one time. The preacher was saying how when we introduce ourselves, the way the world works, the way we do things, and we're accustomed, we're programmed in this, we ask people the most important question about them when we want to meet them. We meet someone and say, what do you do? Because we think if we can find out what they do, we can find out who they are. But what we should ask is what you be. What we're looking for is who are you in your being? Not what you do. Because you know what the devil does? In his doing, the devil acts like an angel of light. So if he told you about his doings, you could get mixed up thinking maybe it's God. Because he acts as if he is for peace. But all along, in all of his doing, he's only stealing and only robbing. He's only setting himself to take. But if we ask him, what do you do? Oh, I have an orphanage. Oh, man, great guy. But the question is, are you a son of God? Because my fellowship is going to be based on you being a son of God. If you're not a son of God, I have to invite you into the family. And if you reject it, the Bible says, those that don't receive, they shall be damned. It's not my job to save him. It's my job to offer him salvation. Why? Because the power for him to be saved is in the gospel that God gave me, not in my own goodness. Are you a son of God? Then you have power available. What are you doing with the power? What are you doing with the power? Building legacy. Building the kingdom. This ministry has a vision to empower believers everywhere to fulfill their God-ordained purpose. You can't fulfill your purpose without being empowered as a son of God. Because your purpose is linked to your Creator, who made you for purpose, who made you in purpose, made you for great causes, and he gives you power to accomplish it when you touch and agree with him. The other reason that I'm looking for him to tell me, are you a son of God? Because the Bible says if two or three are on the earth anywhere and they touch and agree in this faith, that God would be right there in the middle of it. And so I have the expectation that the manifestation of God in power should come in this relationship. If I can't do that, well, there's certain blessings that God says, I will not give that to the world. That's only for the sons. So sometimes I'm trying to link up with the world and see the manifestation of the sons. But the Bible says, what fellowship does light have with darkness? Or what fellowship does God have with the devil? What fellowship do the saints have with idols? And what fellowship does belief have with unbelief? We talked last week about fellowship. You're a son of God. Daughters, you're a son of God. And the reason I say that, because the Bible says in the kingdom, there's neither male nor female. But as the angels are, so are we in the kingdom. And if you're a son of God, it's the sons, according to the way of the kingdom, the sons are given the father's inheritance to be able to distribute. And so you're part of the inheritance, just like I am, and just like any other guys are here. In God, you have access to everything the guys have access to. Amen? He doesn't give you a lesser power and a lesser spirit. What we do recognize, the Bible says, a weaker vessel, meaning your physical body, isn't as strong as a male's generally, even though Ronda Rousey wants to prove the world different. But in general, the vessel within itself is usually not as strong, which has to do with why God put the husband to be the protector over, to use his strength for good. But I tell you what, she might be considered the weaker vessel, but she's not the weaker spirit. No. Not the weaker spirit. Vessel. Vessel. But the Bible says that weaker vessels are the ones that you take special care of and put them in the china cabinet. They're the ones that get really the most show of glory. They get the most attention. Those special ones. Those special vessels that you only bring out for Christmas. Why? Because they're special. So ladies, any weakness in your own body is just setting up the power of God to make you special. Right? Not to make you beneath or below. Special. Special. And all the ladies said, come on, if I can't get an amen, ladies, we're in trouble. I don't want to go too much further for you because you look like you've eaten.
Preach it, Pastor. Preach
And then Jesus spoke to the one that believed. All right. I'm speaking to this guy. No. We have power. But if we don't use the power, I picture Jesus weeping like he did in the day of Lazarus. Being the resurrection, being able to do everything he promised he could do, but having the people live their lives as if he can't. I don't want him to live with me grieved because I give him no avenues to manifest. I don't want him in the church grieved because his body won't rise up by his spirit. I don't want him grieved as the answer that nobody would receive. I want him glorified. And I want him glorified in me and in you and in this church and in your home and in the body of Christ around the world. That same Isaiah that spoke in Isaiah 6, who said, Lord, choose me. God said, who can I send? He's the same Isaiah that said, I see the Lord seated on the throne and his train fills the temple. And he said, I could see the whole earth filled with his glory. God was giving him the vision of his will to fill the whole earth with the goodness and the life of God. And so that's why he needs places to manifest on the earth so that the glory of God can manifest. The glory of God needs to be here in this building. But that only happens when his people, by faith, make avenues for God to manifest. When does revival break out? Revival breaks out when the focus gets off things and situations and self, and all together corporately, everybody's focus is on him, desiring him over stuff. And then it's an avenue, a channel for God to come in and do things that are beyond our thinking, beyond our asking. Without the preacher even preaching, the glory coming in and people getting saved and healed, reconciling, forgiving people. Why? Because the power that comes through his presence. If I have God's presence in the glory of God, forgiving people is easy. If you feel you can't forgive someone, I question, have you received that word of forgiveness? Because that word of forgiveness empowers you to be a son of God in that situation. But I have to choose, Lord, even as you have forgiven me, so I forgive anybody that has aught against me or I have against them. I forgive them. Why? Because your glory, your power, my relationship with you is so much more important than that. Why would I stay chained to something outside of your will when I could be at liberty in your will? So did you know the power of God is in you to forgive people? Did you know the power of God is in you to love people? That's why the Bible says that a lot of sin is going to be covered with love. Because your love doesn't bring that sin to judgment, but brings it to forgiveness. So now that doesn't need to be judged. Why? Because you forgave it. You forgave it. It doesn't need to be judged. There's no case against it anymore. But through unforgiveness, there's a case. I have a case. Case number 15876. They did say this about me. And I'm waiting for my trial. But if I let the case go, when they go through the books, they said that's dismissed. Dismissed. We don't even need to go there. Dismiss the cases. Because every one of your case, he dismisses. So as he dismisses your case, dismiss their case. Yeah, they did it, but so did you. Right? How does it feel to be forgiven? Well, then it must feel that good also to forgive. And you have power to do it. Why? Because you've been forgiven. If you haven't been forgiven, godly forgiveness is, what is that? But if you've received it, then you can give it. If you've received the joy of the Lord, then the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Now it can become power to you. But if you don't receive the joy of the Lord, it doesn't strengthen you. The joy of the Lord, which I don't receive, is my strength. Sounds funny. But let's all say it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Well, how strong are you? How strong are you? What is the joy of the Lord? You want to know the joy of the Lord? This is my son, who I am well pleased. There's your strength. There's your strength. Where's your strength? There's your strength. There it is. Oh, and by the way, if you receive him, the joy of the Lord, I'll make you a son too. Amen. I'm just hoping God doesn't look down at me and say, "This is my son. Pray for him." You know? Why? Because I want to be about my Father's business. In order to be about my Father's business, I need to be empowered. I need to be empowered with love, with power, and with a mind that agrees with his word. I need to receive my portion. You know, I only have a couple more places to show you. Why don't we get out at 12:15 today? Is that all right? Some of you that have been around me long enough know that was a setup. Because if you say yes, I say, uh-huh. I see. And if you say no, you put me at liberty, right? I could go until the rain comes. Well, let's look at another scripture then. Let's look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, 1. I want you to know you have power by faith simply because you received Jesus. You received him, and by receiving him, what you've received is full of power. What you've received is full of power. So how am I going to deal with my own actions that I don't like? Am I just going to do better within myself? No, I need to receive and continue in what I receive, which has the power to make me a son of God. I need to continue in receiving from God. This know that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Challenging days. Are you in a challenging day in your life? Is it a challenging generation and season to live in? There's a lot of things going on. Don't look at the news because you won't know whether to go left, right, stop, quit, run, move to Canada, come home from Canada. I've been watching Alaska Bush people and think they got it figured out. I'm starting to really believe. They know what they're doing. Jose, they got it. Salmon, bears, water, timber, the good Lord. I mean, it looks good out there. But this know in the last days there shall be perilous, challenging, troublesome times. There's going to be challenges. God didn't remove all the challenges when he made you a son of God. He didn't remove all the challenges, but he puts power in you to go through all the challenges. He puts power. So, you know, sometimes that's what we're looking for is, okay, God, by your power, remove the peril and the trouble and the challenge. And he says, no. By my power, I'm going to make you like me. Go through it like me. Go through it with me. Go through it going somewhere, not just stuck in it. You're going somewhere. You're traveling with God, for the Lord is my shepherd, and you're empowered to be a child of God. So perilous times doesn't change that. Matter of fact, it highlights it. Next verse. Let's just keep reading. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. We could go into that one pretty deep. Truce breakers, false accusers. And I always say this word is incontinent. Is that right? Incontinent? What does that mean? What does that mean? Let me show you how to handle this. Ready? Put it in the Amplified. Verse 3 in the Amplified. Slanders, false accusers, troublemakers, and temperament, and loose in morals and conduct. uncontrolled, fierce, haters of good. Uncontrolled, uncontrolled, uncontrolled. How do you possess your vessel? Is your vessel under control? Control as a son of God, or control as a slave to another master? Right? Control. Janet Jackson said. Let's keep reading. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Now, this isn't the sons of God. This is not us, right? Thank you. Next one. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. From such, turn away. Let's say it. From such, turn away. So those that make the appearance without the power. Did you ever watch Leave It to Beaver? You remember Eddie Haskell? But when you got Eddie away from the parents, that dog was no good, was he? He was a little, man, he was something else. So this is having certain clothes that they can try to appear, but they're not walking in the power of sons of God. We can't deny the power of being sons of God and try to put on a look of being sons of God. So that's why I said, what do you be rather than what do? Because you can try to look like it by what you do, but who you are, what you be by faith and belief, that is truly where the rubber meets the road. Is that right? And so the Bible says, turn away from those that deny the power of God, but act as if they're walking in it. Be careful. It goes on to tell you why, that they're actually deceivers and they try to lead people away from what it is that God's saying, because rather than them come to be like the sons of God, they want the sons of God to walk like them so they can look like they're all in agreement. Oh, you don't have to do that. Oh, don't worry about that. Oh, come on, that's no big deal. Oh, we don't do that. Oh, they don't give the Holy Spirit anymore. That was for the old days. Deny the power. Deny the power. But guess what? To those who receive, God gives power to become the sons of God. Would you rise up as the sons of God in this place? That whole scripture that we read in 1 John started, but to all those who receive him. Can we just receive him again today? Can each of us just receive him again? And I want you to know, if you receive him again, it's fresh and new. It's not determined on mistakes you've made before. It's not determined on how hard you've tried before and it didn't work, or this or that. It's determined on believing who he is and receiving him for who he is. And he is the light of the world. He is the word of God manifested on the earth. He's the one who died on a cross for you so that you don't have to pay with eternal damnation, but that you can be resurrected with him in eternal life. Our expectations are, no matter what peril or trouble we have on the earth, when we leave this place, we're going to stay very presently with him forever. There's joy to the expectation of one of the saints going home. If someone in this place as a son of God passes away, we say they're going to where we're trying to get. And so our grieving is only because we miss them, but we know by faith we can celebrate that the sons of God are present with the Lord. And so this is a confidence that we need every day. Lord, with all the struggles that I might go through, you've empowered me to be a son of God. I know if this was my last breath, I would be very present with you. I know if this situation were to take my natural life, it couldn't touch my life with you. Nothing can separate me from you. And so I just want, out of your own confession, to say, Jesus, Word of God, God in the flesh, I believe you died on the cross for me. And by the shedding of your blood, paid the price for my sins and have set me free by the resurrection power of your spirit. And now you sit on the throne in heavenly places and call me a joint heir with you. And empower me with you. And give me the joy of the Lord to shine on this earth. To be your body. To be your mouthpiece. That the world might see that the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Lord, empower me to be who you called me to be. Lord, empower me to speak with new tongues, to cast out devils, and Lord, to lay hands on the sick. Give me power to be who you've called me to be. And this day, I won't look left, I won't look right, but straight forward to the one who is able to save to the uttermost. I look to you, Lord. You are my God. You know, if you said that, if you've opened your heart, I want you to know why it was important that you spoke it. Even as we said, for all them that believe that the power is able to come. But the Bible says all that will open their mouth and confess, that becomes the avenue in which God can come in with salvation into your life. That's the place that He can come in through your own confession. Not my confession towards you, but your confession. He can enter into your life and show you the ways of life. Show you the joy of the Lord. And so I'm having this expectation, if you prayed that prayer, God is going to begin to manifest to you His will for you. His desire for you to come out of dark things. His desire for you to be above only and not beneath. He is going to reveal to you moving forward that He has set you at liberty and you no longer have to stay in old places and old things. And that He gives you a new name. That He knows you through the blood of Jesus with no blame coming to you, but blessing. Judgment is paid for as He looks at you. This is a place where we can all celebrate. This is the place where the saints fellowship. This is the place where we touch and agree in the liberty of His Spirit. So God, I thank you for filling your people with your Spirit and refilling that we truly would stand up together rejoicing and say that He's a mighty God, powerful. We thank you, Lord, that your power works through your children and that you said your power in the church, no enemy, no devil, and no pits of hell can prevail against it. We stand in the safety of your name. And Lord, this day, let joy, the power of your joy, be a witness to us. Give us joy that we can't explain, Lord, that only comes from trusting you. I thank you. If you have a circumstance that's trying to steal your joy, I just want you to speak the name of Jesus to it. I just want you to think of that circumstance and say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I speak life to the situation. I speak life to the circumstance. I speak life to the relationship. I speak life, and that life comes through Jesus. Well, God is good. We're going to leave the altar available for anybody who would want prayer. I'll ask my ministry team to pray with you. But at this time, we're going to bless you, send you out, remind the interns that you are meeting in your small groups. But remember something. It's not just in this place that you're empowered. It's not just in this place that there's the joy of the Lord. But anywhere where God abides. And so we're the ones who have made room for Him. Let Him abide in your life all day and for eternity. So, Father, I pray a blessing over them. Prosper them. Let goodness and mercy follow them, even as they follow you. And, Lord, let them come back in the same spirit that raised you from the dead. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Go in peace.